For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reith with a special half-hour interview with former Interim Ag Commissioner Diane Curry. Curry left her position abruptly on the afternoon of March 13th, which is when a group of distraught cannabis growers broke the news to me. This was shortly after the end of recently hired Commissioner Joe Moreo's tenure. For the next 2 weeks, the position was vacant. On Thursday night, the county announced that the Board of Supervisors had appointed Dr. Harinder Gruel of Stanislaus County as the latest Ag Commissioner. On Wednesday morning, I sat down with Curry to hear about her departure and her work in the Ag Department during the first few months of rolling out the cannabis ordinance. I'm Sarah Reith with KZYX, and I'm in our Willett studio at the Carnegie Library talking to Diane Curry, the former Ag Commissioner. Hi, Diane.
Good morning, Sarah. I will say that I was the former Assistant Ag Commissioner after being Interim Ag Commissioner, so kind of an interesting free fall from the top here. And now, just a citizen of Mendocino County now.
And your last day on the job was March 13th. So can you walk us through how you ended your employment with the county?
Yeah, interesting day. I was expecting, had actually been told to be ready to go into closed session with the board because that day they were going to actually be appointing a commissioner, an agricultural commissioner, I should say. And for me, that didn't happen. I was never called into closed session. I was called to human resources and told that I was not going to be appointed, that they were going to continue to recruit for an Ag Commissioner sealer. But what I didn't realize is that they at that time told me that I would have to move my office, my personal office, from the Ag Commissioner's building, the Department of Agriculture, and move and be housed under the executive office. So that's across the way. And I asked how I was going to actually, direct my staff and supervise my staff if I was in another building. And I asked why I was being asked to do that. And basically, I was told that that was discussed in closed session, and I couldn't know that. So I left HR, went back to my office, and had a little bit of an epiphany and breakdown and said, this is just ridiculous. I can't do it. So I called back and said, I'm going to retire. And later that day, I was asked to show up to the HR department again at 5 to 5. And at that time, I was told that I would be allowed to retire, but I would be put on administrative leave until the end of the pay period. And I was promptly marched over to my office with an HR representative with me and told to get my personal, I would have 10 minutes to get my personal things. And then I was marched out of the building and put in my car and sent on my way. And basically told, don't contact staff, don't come into the office, don't do anything with the department, which was not my intent. I intended to stay, get my, get things together, get work plans wrapped up, pass the baton to staff so they would know, kind of have that transition from me being there to, them, supervising themselves. So yeah, it was not what I intended. The board didn't talk to me. They never gave me an explanation. They never said that they were restructuring the department. Nothing. So it was really, it was not a good situation. It was not how, I didn't even get to say goodbye to my staff, really. I mean, most retirees get a party. I got nothing, so... It's like, whoa. So, you know, it was not good. And I really felt bad for staff because it was never my intent just to leave them hanging without, you know, wrapping things up. I was just in the middle of doing some work plans for our detection trapping and, you know, getting crop reports set up. And, you know, basically I was just told to leave all that and get my things and leave.
You just alluded to the huge shakeup and the change in how the cannabis program and probably the whole department are structured within the county, but there's also some friction between the county and the state. It sounds like the Ag Commissioner is kind of a liaison between the state and the county. Is that about right?
Yeah. You know, the Ag Commissioners were born out of the Department of Food and Agriculture long ago. And what we generally, when the state has a program related to agriculture, well, let's just say European grapevine moth, you know, they contract with the local ag commissioners to do the work. And that's the way it's always been. And cannabis wasn't going to be any different. I mean, the cultivation of cannabis was put under the Department of Food and Agriculture at the state level. So it was only, you know, the commissioners who are doing cannabis realize that down the road, the state is going to be contracting with the commissioners to do the work for them because that's just the way it's set up. And so I had actually been contacted by CDFA before my departure because they wanted to use us as a pilot county because, of course, we have, you know, many cultivators. And they were setting it up to, you know, for the commissioners to do the work. But that work has to be done by licensed staff.
And that's inspections of property kind of work?
Yes. Okay. So that would be the inspection. So I did see the documents that the state was proposing. And basically, it was everything we had already done during our pre-sites because we anticipated that this was going to be how it was going to, you know, roll out for the future with the state. So we had already been doing, you know, everything that was on those inspection forms already. So it would have been, you know, we would have been getting paid to actually do some of that inspection work. So we would have gotten a little bit of a reimbursement. And then my understanding with the, you know, talking with the state is that that actually was going to be pretty lucrative in the future. We'd probably get reimbursed for a lot of the cannabis work that our office would have been administering. And we're going to lose out on that funding because if the county moves the cannabis program under a cannabis unit, the cultivation portion of it, then the state is not going to reimburse for that kind of work through another department. They, you know, the commissioners are licensed, the assistant is licensed, the biologists are licensed. And, you know, that's been going on for many, many years with the Ag Department. So
what's the training that you need as an Ag Commissioner? I understand that you didn't have all your certificates until December.
So, again, as I was saying, when you come into, when I came into the system, I had a biology degree, I had a botany degree. And you come into the system and the state has different licensing exams you have to take. When I came in, there were 15 for agriculture and then for weights and measures. They've now condensed some of those and there's now 8 for biologists, 5 for ag, and 3 for weights and measures. And then as you move up, if you want to become a supervisor, then you have to take what we call deputy exams. And that is two written exams and 2 oral exams. And then when you want to become commissioner sealer, again, another 4 sets of exams. So you have to obtain all these licenses, and it's a process, and anybody that's been through it, it's a lot. So I had my commissioner license. I did not have my sealer's license. So that was my last. I had passed the written component, but I still had to take the oral exam. And so I was in the process of doing that. They give those exams twice a year. So, you know, it's not like you can just say, okay, I'm ready, let me take it. You've got to wait for the actual exam to happen. So I passed that in December. Woohoo! Finally, I made that. And so I was, you know, completely qualified to do the commissioner sealer, be the head of the department.
And of course, being an ag commissioner is a full-time job before the huge cannabis issue came into play. So were you able to get all the other stuff done while you were figuring out this cannabis program that's still in flux at the state and the county levels both?
You know, I will say that it was a juggling act. And because I was only interim, I couldn't really hire an assistant to help me. So basically, I was the only manager at the time. So yes, we got our priority programs done in agriculture and weights and measures. There were some things that didn't get done. One of those was the crop report, and I was working on that for this year. But that's kind of, you know, it's one of those things that we can put off. The crop report is kind of lower on the priority list. So I did put that off. But otherwise, I was really proud of what the department got done. And I couldn't have done that without my staff. I mean, they're amazing. So I really, but you know, again, I knew things needed to change. I needed to be a whole staff. We could have easily, you know, taken on the cannabis program and done all of our other programs with a full set of staff.
So do you think that cannabis belongs in the Department of Ag?
Oh, yeah. The cultivation of cannabis definitely belongs in agriculture. And the state has put it under the Department of Food and Ag. So, you know, when I was being told about the cannabis unit, I thought, yeah, this is great, because we do need a liaison. The cultivators are doing, you know, it's not just about cultivation, it's about transportation, it's about processing, you know, all of these things which aren't under the purview of the ag commissioner. So the liaison, the cannabis manager, could have been that point person. And my understanding down in Sonoma, that's how they're working their cannabis manager, kind of the point person, the liaison between the departments. If there is an issue between the departments, that person would kind of, you know, be the person to figure out how we can move beyond that and get through those issues. But, you know, I never thought that that person would be moving into the Department of Agriculture and actually supervising biologists under the purview of the Ag Department.
So is that what happened?
Yes. The cannabis manager is now being housed in the Department of Agriculture.
And this is Mr. Kelly Overton?
Yes. And he is, five of the staff are actually being told that they report to him. And, you know, that was one of the things that was worrisome to me, because they're supposed to be reporting to licensed staff, and that's not happening. So, and their career path has been kind of derailed, because, you know, if you've got to get these licenses, that's a career choice, and it can be great, because you can move to other counties, you can move up or move up within your own county. But yeah, they're kind of being, their career path is being derailed a little bit, and they've shared those concerns with me, and I'm working with the state to hopefully get some clarification on that.
So talk a little bit more about what their career path is. They're scientists, right?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of this very unique career path, because, again, only California has ag commissioners and sealers. And we're the only state that actually has commissioners in each county. Other states just have departments at the state level and not at the county level. So it's kind of a unique group of people. It's kind of a little, you know, a small club, I'll say, in the big scheme of things. But, you know, it's great for a person who, you know, again, really appreciates how valuable agriculture is to California. And, you know, you have to get licensed. And, you know, those mean something. And again, I think the county has realized, since it was difficult to find a commissioner sealer for the county, that it's, you know, it's kind of a finite group of people and getting them to come here. So, yeah, but, you know, there's the commissioners. There's a lot of commissioners who are going to be retiring right now. And, you know, there's the, you know, for staff who's licensed, I mean, that can mean moving to, you know, being a commissioner in another county, which is, you know, kind of a prestigious, you know, position to be in. So it's, I mean, you know, that's, it can be a value for, especially for young people coming into the system. You know, they're willing to move to other counties to do the work.
So in spite of the fact that you're kind of the liaison, or the commissioner was kind of the liaison between the state and the county, it seemed like some of the folks in the county permit program did run afoul of state agencies, specifically the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. I think I've heard of at least 3 raids that happened in the summer with Anne-Marie Borges and Chris Gurr, and I'm not sure if Javier Sandoval and William Knight were the same raid or separate raids, but they're 2 separate claims. But it seems like there was a rash of CDFW raids.
The same. They were adjoining properties. yeah, so, you know, in the rollout of the ordinance, you know, of course, and the state statute and regulations, I think there was a little bit of a maybe that all the agencies that were involved were not really brought to the table at the beginning to understand what was going on. So, but we had, at the local level, we were sitting down with both CAL FIRE and Fish and Wildlife and trying to come up with a plan so that, you know, people who were trying to get compliant weren't going to be the focus of, you know, eradication by CDFW. And we didn't have all the you know, processes in place. We were working on that, and there were some, my understanding was from the CDFW that if there were complaints made through CalTIP, that basically they would go on the properties and do what they do, which is eradication. If it's cannabis, it's eradication. So, you know, we were working through that. And in fact, by, I think, our last meeting with the supervisor of the wet team from Eureka and one of the biologists from CDFW here in Mendocino, we had made arrangements that we would share information with them who was in the process, and they would not focus on those individuals. So I felt really confident. And that also came on the heels of, you know, Senator McGuire having some meetings with the director of Fish and Wildlife. So again, you know, now we're talking at the state level. So, you know, everybody's kind of on the same page. So we're not, you know, we're supporting those people who want to get compliant and not, you know, going after those individuals. So, we were working through those processes. And again, I think that, you know, because cannabis has already been, you know, it's a program that's already, well, not a program, but, you know, it's something that's already been going on in the state for decades now. So, you know, how do you get everybody on the same page? And certainly, you know, everybody has their preconceived notions about cannabis and the growers and, you know, stereotypical, you know, kind of crazy people in the woods growing cannabis and doing all kinds of terrible things. But we know that that's not the case. I mean, it's families and, you know, people who have believed in this plant and what it can do for us, and, you know, just kind of living out in the woods and trying to make a living.
So are you going to continue working with the state to try to figure out where cannabis and the Department of Ag fit in at the county level? And are you going to pursue that, or are you on your way to another pursuit in your life?
You know, Sarah, I don't know. I'm just regrouping at this point. But I would like to, you know, help the cannabis community here, you know, get what they need. But, you know, and I am working with, you know, trying to make sure that the Department of Agriculture here in Mendocino County is, you know, being run the way it's was meant to be run, you know. And I don't want that, you know, I don't feel that the county can just go in and reconfigure the Department of Agriculture to fit their needs. You know, it's just not the way things work. So I want to make sure that, you know, staff is protected, and I'm going to continue to do that. Whether, you know, what my role is going to be as far as helping the cannabis community, I don't know. I would like to help them, you know, in this process, and I will as, you know, the best I can. But, you know, I'll be kind of looking at all my options here.
And you've mentioned that you were talking with Tony Liniger. I'm wondering if you've had conversations with other ag commissioners. You mentioned it's a finite pool of people who seem to have gone through a lot of work to get a lot of qualifications. What's the feeling out there in the small ag commissioner community?
Well, they're definitely concerned. And, you know, there's been a lot of concern with the ag commissioners throughout the state, you know, because counties, you know, they're trying to save money. But, you know, so a lot of times they may contract with another county commissioner. And there's been some concern about that kind of thing because it really kind of dilutes the ag commissioner's system. And what people don't realize is that, you know, the commissioner, at the commissioner level, it's more of a political level, and it helps to get California notice. The commissioners go back to Washington, D.C. every year to, you know, talk to the powers there about the farm bill and making sure that California gets monies so that we can continue to be, you know, the agricultural powerhouse that we are. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And if we dilute the commissioner system, you know, we just don't have that kind of leverage that we need. So it's really important that we keep that, you know, that system viable and you know, keep the people coming into it, because we need the new blood. Like I said, you know, we've got a lot of commissioners, the baby boomers are all retiring. So, you know, we need to have that next wave of young people and commissioners going into that so that we can continue to get, you know, what we need for California agriculture. I mean, we, you know, we're literally feed the world. So anyway, so that's, I'm kind of hoping, I'm going to still work on that level and make sure that we don't lose that system, because I think it's really important.
I have just a few housekeeping questions about how long you worked at the Ag Department and how long you were the interim or the assistant commissioner.
So I actually started my career down in San Joaquin County. So I worked there for 13 years. And then my husband and I my husband's from Eureka, so we wanted to get closer to his family. So I've been here in Mendocino for a little over 10 years. And I'm trying to think, when Chuck Morris became commissioner, I became assistant. So I believe that was just a little over 4 years ago. I was assistant, and then I was appointed to interim in February of 17 for interim ag commissioner. And I was that until January of 18 when I went back to being the assistant ag commissioner.
Okay, and so you did have a chance to go to Washington once to advocate for...
No. Oh, okay. Because I was interim, okay. I couldn't, you know, I wasn't... I was participating in the ag commissioners meet twice a year, and I had been to both of those conferences. But yeah, you kind of work your way up to being a part of the Washington, D.C. delegation. Usually they don't send the newbies, you know, it's the more experienced. So yeah, but, you know, certainly that would be, you know, I knew people that had gone, and, you know, there's a lot of work that's done by the commissioners about all kinds of things, you know, whether it be water issues or... you know, just, you know, farm labor issues, just anything associated with the ag community and weights and measures, another big...
What do you do as the sealer of weights and measures? I just had this vague idea for a while that it was sort of an old-fashioned ceremonial addition to the title, but it sounds like it's actually a big deal.
It is a big deal. And, you know, I didn't realize that when I started into this system, how big of a deal. I mean, when you think about what, you know, just from, okay, your gas at the gas station, you know, how do you know you're getting what you paid for? So, you know, part of weights and measures is actually anything that's being sold by weight or volume, you know, is under that umbrella. And it's a lot. I mean, when you think about the transactions that we do for value for, you know, an amount, you know, it's huge. And the weights and measures component of it is just as big as ag. It's really, you know, I really like the weights and measures component of it because it's really fascinating when you think about, you know, going out and I used to call it shopping, you know, kind of you'd fill up your grocery cart and take it to the counter to see if all the prices matched. I mean, those are things that we did. And then, you know, one of the things that we had just done training on at our offices for skimmers in the gas stations. So, you know, being able to identify those and bring that to the attention of the authorities because it's, you know, fraud.
Right. But you're a biologist, right?
I am. I'm a botanist, so... And I really have enjoyed my 23-year career within the system. So it's been very rewarding.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time and good luck with your future endeavor, whatever it is.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate it. And looking forward to it.
For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reith. We just heard a special half-hour interview with former interim ag commissioner Diane Currie.